Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojapat Maria Nsoroma. And wow, folks, here we are at the end of 2019. Can you believe it? Oh my goodness. Wow. Happy New Year, everyone. I am so excited for 2020 coming. And December is the final fire month in what has been a mind-blowing mineral year full of clarity, confidence, and courage. I tell you, we have been through some religious holidays. Some are still going on, like we're in day four of Kwanzaa. And, you know, it is the season to be jolly, to be giving, to be open. And so the year 2020 heralds the beginning of a new decade and a new era and promises radical and dynamic evidence of human evolution. My theme for this month has been preparation for 2020. So to close out 2019 reverently, I have invited you and again invite you tonight to join me for spiritual and emotional healing through five personal challenges with the Dagra Medicine Wheel. And tonight we'll do the final element, which is nature. How can I forget it's nature? And I'm going to still on the challenge to welcome great change. But first, for those of you who may be listening or watching in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. It is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the essential goal of my programs is to support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that is blocking you from fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, I broadcast live here on Black Hole Radio, unless I'm on hiatus or something unexpected occurs. And know that if for some reason that you cannot access the internet to listen to the live broadcast, you can always listen over the phone at this number. It's area code 563-999-3089. And I will upload a video of this broadcast by Tuesday, hopefully. No later than Wednesday, and that'll go to my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self Mastery. You can ask questions or share comments by going to my website, which is, and you'll see it running below, www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com, or in the comments below this YouTube. So now I would very much invite you to sit back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. So, I always open up my programs with an honoring of the ancestors. And tonight, because we are talking about great change, we are going to call up all the ancestors that really demonstrated the ability to engage with and to embrace great change. Because let me tell you, 2020, yeah, it's bringing it. It's bringing it. And when I think of great change, I think about my grandma, my grandpa especially, but also my mom and all of my aunts and uncles, because they were born at the earlier part of the 20th century. And there has been so much that has changed from the time my grandmother was born in 1910. My grandfather was 1906. And there's just been so much that has changed between now and 2019, entering into 2020. You know, there's been more change, especially around our lifestyle, our the technological advances then have happened in all of human history. So these folks really have dealt with great change, and we're going to call on them and others like them to support us as we move into this new era, into this next decade. So take a moment, take in a deep breath, and breathe it out slowly. And recall the names of those ancestors that you have that have experienced great change and dealt with it. And these can be persons that are your family members, your blood-related ancestors, but they could also just be people from history or celebrities that you admire and think really did a good job demonstrating that. So we're going to call on them. And so join me now as we invoke the ancestors. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, All the One, All That Is, we thank you. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your blessing and your mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to call on your great emissaries, the ancestors. For Creator, we truly are in a time of shifting. We're at a threshold between what was and what will be, and we need all the help we can get to move us forward and beyond our blocks, our fears, our wanting to know, to help us step into the truth of who it is that we really are as human beings and what it is that we're really, really here to do. Creator, there are so many things in this world that are broken and need to be fixed and need to be evolved. And so we need the help from the ancestors to help us make sure that that happens. So ancestors, 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 we are calling out to you, especially those of you who have come through great change and were able to welcome the change and support the change. We need your help. We need your support, your love, and your guidance as we stand here at the threshold of a new day. And so please come to us and bring us information, ideas, guidance, wisdom, remembrance, so that we're able to be with this change to make really, really generative and loving decisions. And most importantly, to decide to choose love over fear. And so once again, we thank you. We thank you, Creator. Of course, we thank you for the blessing of the ancestors. And again, we receive these blessings in the name of all that is holy. I say amen. Ashe ho asash. And give this milan. So it is. Ashe. Ashe. Wow. I am going to give you some elemental wisdom and then share with you the celestial phenomena that have been going on all month that really are indicating we are in a time of big, great, phenomenal change. So the way that I know what the energies are for an elemental week is based upon what day the 1st of January begins on. And so as we move into 2020, next Wednesday, we are going to, this Wednesday, oh my God, it's already here. I'm thinking it's next week. Oh my God, it's here. This Wednesday, we will begin January 1st. And so from Wednesday through the following Tuesday, from the 1st through the 7th, we will be in a water week. Yeah. And January is a water month. So it's water time. And here's the opportunity coming up this week with this new year. It's about releasing what can no longer support you on your new journey, like this new journey into this new year, into this new decade, into this new era. Yeah. Call upon the power of love and the element of water to enable you to peacefully and gently bid farewell to the people, places, and or things that once sustained you. Express gratitude for these were essential contributions you received to your healing and growth. But now you've outgrown their energy and it's time to make room for the new energy that is about to show up for you. Embrace vulnerability, because this definitely makes us feel vulnerable. Also embrace the unknown. And probably most importantly, say yes. Say yes. So with every opportunity that shows up for us, of course, there's going to be distractions, I call them, that come to try to pull us off the track. But we are not going to do that. We're going to stay the course. And so here's the distractions to look out for. The first one, of course, is fear of loss. Fear of loss. It's easy to get caught up in that. and focus on what we're going to lose as a result of change rather than focusing on what are we going to gain. And so that's where we need to be putting our attention. What is it that we can gain from the change? Next distraction is fear of the unknown. Now, nobody likes to walk through a haunted house or through a dark tunnel or anything dark, anywhere where you can't see and you don't know. But if we knew the new that was coming, it wouldn't be new. And so we do have to experience being in that place, a very vulnerable place of not knowing, of being in an unknown. And so relax. Relax and allow it. It's part of the process to getting to the new. But you will be in a period where you just don't know. And it's okay not to know. I know my teacher, Melodoma Somme, would often say that to us, like, you know, it's okay not to know. You don't have to know. Just be willing to learn. Be willing to learn. Yeah. Another distraction is that needing to know or explain outcomes that have yet to be lived. Yeah. So that kind of, you know, jumping ahead and trying to figure it all out. You know, there's nothing wrong with making plans, but always, always be ready to have them get revived or shifted up, because that, you know, the universe knows a lot more than what we do. So even though we may think, okay, this is how I'm mapping it out, this is how it needs to happen, you know, don't be attached. Don't be attached. If some shift happens, something shifts up, know that that is happening for a reason, and open to learning what that is rather than being in resistance or judging or blaming, you know, when things don't go the way we think they should go. And then last but not least, holding on out of false obligation and false guilt. Yeah. You know, we will find it hard to say goodbye and to leave behind people, places, and things that have been at one point a great support to us. That it really worked, you know, it was okay, it was right, it was everything in some situations. And that could be a relationship, that could be a home, that could be a job that you did, that could be a friendship. But when the new calls, when you're being called to something new, called to something more, you need to go, and you need to trust that whatever from the past that can continue to be of service to you, that it'll come along, it'll show up. But to try and use, I can't go because this, you know, I'm needed, or this is right for me, or this person will be upset, you know, or, you know, whatever. No, you have to let that go. And it's painful. It's not easy. I've had many, many experiences in my life where I've had to move forward and leave behind and let go. And it's been painful. There's grief in that. And again, that's okay. But you still have to move forward. Yeah. So next Wednesday, the 8th, we will begin a Nature Week, which is so in alignment with the stuff that's going to be going on next week astrologically, astronomically, and it's all about welcoming change. So I'll tell you all about that in the next broadcast. Now, moving into, there's four celestial phenomena that is hearkening great change. And, you know, all month I have been spilling about the astrological, astronomical aspects because there's been so much going on. And it is really phenomenal. You know, I don't remember a December with this much activity going on and awareness of it, too. Like, you know, people are really kind of aware, more aware. So I just want to run through what's been going on celestially up in the heavens, astronomically. So you see that, wow, there really is something to pay attention to here. So first, on December 8th, we had an asteroid called Apophis passing the Earth and bringing cosmic change energy, because that's what I think those asteroids and comets and stuff do. It was shaped like a pyramid. They named it after an Egyptian god of chaos called Apep, and that's what Apophis means. It's probably Greek. And a pep looks like a giant serpent in the sky, a giant snake. And so that all is saying, like, change, things are going to change, you know. The snake in shamanic heritage and tradition always is about change because snakes shed their skin, totally shed their skin. So it's hearkening like this really, like, a shedding of a skin, something big happening. So that was on December 8th. Then from the 22nd to the 24th, right up until Christmas Eve, you had the most active, they were happening before the 22nd, but this is when they were most active, and these were called the Ursids meteor showers, the meteor showers. And, you know, these are produced by small fragments of cosmic debris. And they really form like there's an orbit that they have, and it's like the Earth passes through that orbit, and that's why they happen at the same time every year. And they also can be seen in the same part of the sky every year because we're kind of passing through their orbit. And, you know, again, so these meteor showers happening, like, wow. The third one, which happened yesterday, was the comet Borisov, yeah. It was just discovered in August by a Crimean astronomer who's an amateur, and his name is Gennady Borisov. That's why it's named after him. And yesterday, it came the closest to the Earth with its tail flaring, and the closest it got was 290 million kilometers. Thank goodness, because you really don't want a comet coming too close. So those three alone, that's amazing. And let me just quickly tell you the difference between the comet, the asteroids, and the meteorites. So first of all, a comet is considered a dirty space snowball, and it's made mostly of ice and dust, and it was formed, they believe, at the birth of the solar system, okay? And it's believed that that occurred 4.6 billion years ago in human time, right? Because, you know, the cosmos has its time, but this is how we understand it in human time. So most comets have stable orbits in the outer reaches of the solar system out past the planet of Neptune. What's interesting about this comet Borisov, it came from another galaxy. Yeah, like this is considered to be the first known interstellar comet coming in from a different galaxy, right? So that's what the comets, and again, just think about that. I mean, this is material that is that old and coming from that far out from the creation of the solar system. It's like mind-boggling. And that we get to experience it in our lifetime, you know, because there's comets like Halley's Comet. It doesn't come around except once every 75, 76 years, I believe. So, you know, there'll be people who will never get to see Halley's Comet. Asteroids. Asteroids are the rocky and airless leftovers from the formation of planets in our solar system. And they mostly orbit the sun between Mars and Jupiter, which is really interesting. And, of course, they can be the size of cars or dwarf planets. They can come really big. But by the time they hit our atmosphere, the reason we call them So the asteroids can be really big, but a difference between the asteroid and the comet is that the asteroid will definitely be a little smaller, and they usually don't have that tail that a comet has because, again, they're a part of the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, so they're not coming from that as far away as a comet can come. And then the third one is the meteors, and the meteorites, these are tiny pieces of asteroids. They're broken off crumbs of comets, and sometimes from planets, it says, and they range in the size from a grain of sand to a boulder 3 feet or 1 meter wide. Now, it says when meteoroids collide with a planet's atmosphere, they become meteors. Okay, so they change the terminology. And if a meteor survives the atmosphere and hit the planet's surface, that's when they call them a meteorite. And so those are the fragments. You can see them in museums sometimes of a meteorite because it actually survived. It hit Earth. Now, that's just to give you some idea that these three different types of, you know, cosmic celestial materials all showed up in December, like all within this month. And, you know, since humans first witnessed comets and other celestial phenomena, there has always been this understanding that they are heavenly messengers. You know, they capture our imagination because although science knows what they're made of and they know where they emanate from, there's still this mystery about their purpose. Like, why are they really here? You know, why are they traveling to come see us? You know, so, you know, a lot of times they're considered to be harbingers of bad news, something bad, something wrong. But I really think it is more a message about change. In my lifetime, there has been two of the bigger comets. So Hale-Bopp was in 1997, and the infamous Halley's Comet came in 1985. And both of those years, when I was 28 years old and then 40 years old, were years of huge change and growth for me. Yeah, really, really big. So I think it's important to just have an awareness, you know, that the heavens are sending a message to say, okay, I got some growth for you. I got some growing for you. And in this way, we don't stay victim to the change. We can actually welcome it, which is what I'm talking about tonight. So one more a celestial phenomena for you that happened on Christmas, it was the annular solar eclipse. Now, here's what's meant by that. When the lining up of the Earth and the Sun and the Moon is such that the Sun appears black with a ring of fire around it, that's what they mean by annular, annular. And so this happened, was visible in the eastern hemisphere above, but mostly below the equator in like South Asia, Australia, New Zealand, was also part of East Africa, north part of East Africa. But it's interesting that where this annular eclipse could be seen fully is the areas in the world where the most military conflicts and civil wars are taking place right now. Yeah. So very, very interesting. So we also had that eclipse. And you know what eclipse is? If something's being removed, something's being eclipsed, something's being taken out, right? So another thing that is phenomenal to think about, to know about, and this is more astrologically than just astronomically, the Capricorn, the sign of Capricorn, and remember the sky is broken up in these different areas and they call them by the astrological name. So part of the sky is Pisces and part of it is Leo and then part of it is Capricorn. So the part of the sky that is Capricorn in 2020 is going to have three outer planets, which is Pluto, Saturn, and Jupiter, all in that same area for the whole year, for all of 2020. Yeah. And the next time that we'll have three planets, outer planets, in the same sign would be in 2060, so 40 years later, right? So this is big. This is big. So astrologers are just really excited and having a good time with this because, you know, that's their job is to interpret what does it mean when planets are in a certain position to each other or in a certain position in the sky and breaking all that down. So it's really, really fun. Because, again, I think it's important for us to know that the universe is always trying to help us be more aware, be more awake to the fact that we are here to grow, to heal, and to evolve. And so the cosmos gives us those signs, and ancient peoples use that a lot. So noteworthy before I move on to getting into the meat of the program tonight is that tomorrow is the last day of Hanukkah, that 8-day Jewish festival of lights. And I just learned yesterday, I went to a Hanukkah celebration dinner, and I just learned that the reason for the menorah is because when they took over or retook the temple in Jerusalem from the Turks this time, there was just enough oil to light one lamp in the temple. And that oil actually sustained the lamp for 8 days. And so that's why there's a menorah with the 8 candlesticks. And for the 8 days, it's honoring, because this was a miracle, because it was like only a little bit of oil. And so the fact that it lasted for those 8 days is kind of a miracle, and that's what makes Hanukkah such a sacred holiday for those who are Jewish or practice the Jewish faith. And then Kwanzaa. So we are on the fourth day of Kwanzaa, which is that remembrance for Black people that they are not disposable. And Kwanzaa is a Pan-African holiday. It celebrates family, community, and culture. And again, it was created in 1966 by Dr. Maulana Karenga. And he's currently a professor and chair of African studies at the University of California in Long Beach. So today, the focus is on Ujamaa. And Ujamaa means cooperative economics. And so this is the idea that, you know, economics is never about greed. It's about strengthening and sharing and supporting and helping. In other words, that there is purpose to economics. It's never just about making money to make money. And so also to build up and build out of that belief that I have to live in poverty, that I can never have enough money. So focusing on abundance and wealth consciousness is a wonderful thing to do today. Kwanzaa will go until January 1st, and so tomorrow will be Nia, which is all about purpose, which I talked about last week, remembering purpose. Then there's Kuumba, which is about creativity, using our gifts and talents and sharing that. And then on January 1st, on New Year's Day, it will be Imani, which is about faith. And, of course, that's about believing in what has not yet manifested, but that you believe it will happen. Ashe, ashe. So tonight, for my final broadcast and video for 2019. Wow. I think this is number 39. I'm up to 39 of them. Amazing. I am going to, again, just quickly review why the year 2020 is a threshold between what was and what will be. And then I'll do a review of this preparatory work that we've been doing all month around forgiveness, making peace with the past, valuing ourselves, and remembering purpose. And then I will spill on the nature of change. Then I'll give you some contemplative questions that will support you with a nature ritual, which I will encourage you to do. My opening quote, again, comes from my book, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, page 208. And I wrote, welcoming change takes a lot of courage and practice. It doesn't come easily. However, just being willing to learn how to do it will enable you to remember the truth, that in the midst of your fear and upset, there is always purpose and treasure awaiting. Yeah. So, 2020. Yeah, here we go. This really important year. And again, Greg Crawford, an astrologer, says it is the beginning of a new decade. It's a birthing period, you know. And he says the year 2020 is a threshold to cross, a pause between the way it has been and the way it will be, necessitating a confrontation with all the difficult challenges in need of a remedy within civilization. So again, it's about those things that are broken, things that ain't working, like all of these homeless people living in major cities throughout the world, not just here in the United States, throughout the world, people living in tents on sidewalks, like something ain't right. Something's got to be fixed. That's just not okay. It is not okay. So during this year, we're going to see more things shifting and moving to get things back into right balance. I said that, you know, 100 years ago, when the 20s decade came around, the 1920s, it was right after the worst war, World War, World War I. They called it the war to end all wars. And so it ushered in the jazz age, and the theme was let's go party and let's have fun. You know, in the meantime, in between time, ain't we got fun? You know, all those songs in the 20s when you're doing the roaring 20s, they called it, and they were doing the Charleston to just let's party, let's play. And we know what happened after that. It was not a good day, right? Not because they partied and played. It was just that, you know, there was more stuff that had to be upheaved, overhauled, and moved out. So I think as a result of all that, I think we're at a more mature state as humans, and so we realize that what's going on now is that we have to accept that there has to be an end to the fear-centered, ecology-destroying industrial age and its related institutional beliefs that have upheld human injustice and imbalance. And so the theme for this decade is let's go to work to create a better world. And I think most humans will agree to that. Yeah. So let's review the preparation we've done so far that has gotten us to be ready now to embrace, to welcome, you know, great change into our lives. We started off at the beginning of the month with forgiveness of self and others, and we worked with forgiveness as releasing pain in order to experience our joy and happiness. And we honored forgiveness as a divine intervention that we are willing to have, because just our human brain alone really can't do it. We can do it intellectually, but to really get it down into that gut, and also where you're really no longer attached to somebody else's pain, oh, yeah, we need some divine intervention for that. Yeah. And that's where we want to get to with forgiveness. We want to really be letting go, emptied out of whatever we were attached to that had us feeling victimized or that we were being a victimizer to, you know, because, again, it's not just about ourselves, but it's how we have hurt others. And so letting go of all of that energy and opening ourselves up to be clean for the new that is coming in. Next, with making peace with the past, we work with making peace with past emotional pain, of course, as choosing to grow and evolve. Yeah, yeah. We work to move beyond shame, blame, guilt, and anger and resentment through self-compassion. Yes, yes. And so the forgiveness piece, of course, is tied to that, because forgiving yourself of wrongdoing, of mistakes, of, you know, aberrant behavior, that is a form of self-compassion. Yeah. After that, we went into valuing ourselves. At first, I was going to do valuing ourselves and others, but I realized, no, let's just focus on us, ourselves, because once you can value yourself, you're more able to value others. Yeah, that's how it works. So we explored this valuing of self through four aspects of human existence. We looked at the material / physical, the mental, the emotional, and of course, the spiritual. And we worked on how to identify shifting how we are not valuing ourselves. Yeah. So we identified that, and then we worked to shift that up, is what I meant to say. Yeah. And then last week, we worked on remembering purpose. We addressed three blocks to that: the fear of loss, the fear of loneliness, and the fear of life. Yeah. And we talked about, you know, how it is, or I talked about. When I say we, just know it's because I'm not doing this alone. I really do have a lot of spirit guides and loving entities that are coursing through me and working through me when I do this. So when I say we talked about it, it really is a we. But just so you don't think I'm too crazy, I'll say I did say that, you know, that fear of loss and the fear of loneliness and the life is because, you know, things will change, and sometimes very dramatically, when we remember purpose, when we stop just existing to do 9-to-5 or to think we're here to survive, but when we step into our calling, to our vocation, to know that, oh my goodness, I really am connected to a divine intelligence, that I matter, that I'm supposed to be here. Yeah. When that happens, a lot can change, a lot can shift. And so we have those fears, and sometimes they can block us from really embracing and remembering our purpose. But of course we can work through it. And so we did. We worked on how do we receive otherworldly support for moving through those blocks, you know, for transcending that which would keep us from living our purpose, living on purpose. So we did some really, really good work, and it has brought us to now being ready for the change that this new year, this new decade, this new era of human existence is going to bring to us. And let me say, too, that the work we did is work that we can continue to do throughout the course of the year. There's never a time when doing forgiveness isn't a good idea. It's always a good idea. Letting go of the past definitely will happen, because as we move into the new, you're going to get a little pull, you know, be like, well, I guess I could maybe, I did that. You know, we get pulled back, and so you'll definitely have to be aware of that. The valuing of ourselves, because we get so caught up in comparing ourselves to others or to others' situation, and we forget to just look at ourselves and just what do you have, what can you do with what you have, what are you grateful for, you know, and keep that focus on what it is that we really can control and we really can change, which is ourselves. Yeah. And then, of course, remembering purpose, as I said, those fears. And so we can step into purpose, but we all get scared. I know a lot of folks, including myself, that you get so far and then you start to think, well, maybe I've done enough. Maybe this is as much as I'm supposed to do, because you're thinking about what you could lose if you take that next step. So, again, those can become practices for you throughout the year of how to really keep yourself conscious about the change and opening up to the change. So here's a nature change. I'm going to throw out some statements from you. This does come from my book, comes from my head, comes from we, from us. but the first thing to know is that, most importantly to know, you were born with an evolutionary impulse, a human evolutionary impulse, a natural ability to become the best version of yourself. You are divinely wired for healing, growth, and evolution. Just sit with that for a minute. Just breathe that in. There's really nothing you can do to not change. Now, whether or not you want to be conscious of it, whether or not you want to get the treasure in it, that's a different story. But you're going to be changing. But you get a choice. It's a free will universe. But just know, if you really are choosing to be the best version of yourself, there is an energy that is supporting you to do that. It is a natural energy. Again, you are divinely wired for healing, growth, and evolution. That is a cosmic truth. Yeah. Now, despite this natural impulse, you, me, and all humans are challenged by change. It disrupts our comfort zone, that place where we believe we know what is happening and what will be happening. Yeah. So again, you know, we will run from change, or we'll hide from it. We'll try to hide from it, or we'll try to hold it off. Like, no, God, just give me another week, or give me another year. You know, we'll try to hold it off. But, you know, the nature of change is that it's always messy. It's always messy. And it always brings things that you didn't expect or plan on, even when you've known that the change was coming. So, for example, people who are planning to retire, so they know that retirement is coming, but there can be a whole lot of surprise waiting for them when they make that decision, when they make that change, yeah. Or like somebody going away to school, going away to college. You know, you kind of have an idea, or you talk to people, or, you know, you went and visited the school if you know, going to be going away to school. But you have some kind of an idea. But once you really get into it, it becomes something totally different. You know, there's a lot of surprises in it. So that's a good thing. But that's the messy. That's the messy with change. Now, to resist change is futile. To resist change is futile. It really, really is. It's just going to cause a lot of suffering. So the faster that we can recognize and honor that things are changing, then the better. Then we don't have to feel victimized by it. Again, we don't have to play victim or feel defeated or feel betrayed. You know, we can focus on getting to that treasure, because despite whatever negative, unexpected events or painful upsets can come with change, change always brings us gifts. We just have to look for them. Yeah. But it always brings gifts. Yeah. Hard to believe, but, you know, there's a lot of situations where you hear of people who have gone through some really horrific types of loss, you know, where a beloved was murdered, or a child was stolen, or, you know, the horrible things. But you'll hear about how these people then find purpose to help other people who go through that, or to advocate, right, for a change in the law or something changing in the community. So again, there really is treasure in change, despite how horrific it can be. Now, learning how to welcome change and even embrace it is how we can more easily access those gifts that it brings. As I said, you won't be staying in a victim mode. You'll be saying, wait a minute, let me see what the other piece to this is. What's on the other side of this change? And something important to remember, to be aware of, is that without change, though we will never, we will never experience the grace of forgiveness, the power of peacemaking, how valuable we truly are, or the joy of our higher purpose. That's interesting. It's all connected. It's just all connected, So without change, we can't achieve all of those things that we've been working on all month. There has to be change. So here's some contemplative questions for you to help prepare you for your nature ritual. First question, where in your life are you avoiding change and why? And really sit with that. Even though something may pop up first, you know, you might get something easily, just sit with it and give it 24 hours and see what else shows up. Because sometimes there's something we know about, but there may be something under that that we don't know about. And we just give it a little time to bubble up. You know, it's like making bread with yeast. You have to let that bread sit so that the yeast can rise before you put it in the oven. So that's the same thing. Just sit with that. Like, you know, where in your life are you avoiding change and why? Next one, what are three things about yourself that need to change? Don't go unconscious, write it all out, Marianne Williamson says. And really, again, take time with that. What are three things in your life about you that need to change? Three things about yourself that need to change. And then after you identify at least three things, there may be more, you know, and the better for you, the more you can uncover. But out of those things, I want you to choose one that you need to choose, that you need to change first. So which one do you need to change first? Because that's going to give you a focus, especially for this coming year. Like, it's the beginning of making an annual commitment. So here's your personal challenge, which is your nature ritual. And again, this is a spiritual practice for honoring change and welcoming change using the element of nature. So write out on a piece of paper your answers to the contemplative questions I shared. Once again, you're going to roll up that paper and tie it up with a beautiful ribbon or string and place it overnight on your ancestor altar. Right? Red cloth, red candle, pictures or items belonging to your ancestors. And you're going to ask your ancestors to help guide you through this experience of welcoming change. Now, the next day, you're going to go outside into nature. And by nature, I mean a place where wild things still grow and exist. And you're going to release your paper in a sacred manner. You can put it by a tree, you can put it in a tree, you can put it under a stone, you can put it in water, you know, whatever, but somewhere out in nature. Now, if you live in a concreted area, use a park or a backyard. You know, somebody's got a little backyard. But anywhere that animals can come and where plants can grow. That's the energy that you're looking for. Also, remember to call on your God, your spirit guides, angels, and ancestors to guide you safely through this process. And I guarantee you, you will notice a shift within 3 days to a week. And again, you can refer to this time, chapter 20 in my book, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, for more details and support on a nature ritual. Yeah, yeah. And of course, that's why I'm in green. Green is the medicine color for nature. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And I will, of course, place this personal challenge in the box below this video for those of you who are accessing YouTube. Wow, I made it through my final broadcast and YouTube for 2019. And I have produced 39 live broadcasts and accompanying YouTubes, and I am ready for more in 2020. Happy New Year, everyone. Again, I want to shout out to my wonderful, wonderful support team of Black Hole Radio, and to this night, Brother Forrest, and, of course, his wonderful family, Brother Forrest, who has chosen to believe beyond belief and has proven that, you know, mind can work over matter, especially in terms of our health. Brother Forrest, thank you, and, of course, to Yvette and your entire family for all of what you did in 2019 to make sure that my broadcasts go out and that I have this platform. I am so, so grateful to you from the bottom of my heart, because this definitely is part of my purpose, and I take it very seriously. Now, to all my regular listeners out there, especially Miss Sarah, my biggest fan, who at a healthy 95 years old proves the secret to longevity is love. Yeah, yeah. And to all those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and those who may be watching or looking in and listening for the first time, to all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I could not do this without your watching, listening, and your support. I am so grateful. And again, throughout the year, I'm just really, really so grateful. Now, next week, I will begin this new decade with the theme Enter 2020. And I'll be sharing about this year being an Earth year, the year of the rat in Chinese astrology, and of course, about the phenomenal change as humanity wakes up to fixing what is broke and creating a better world from the old. We all have to accept that the future is now. Yeah. Again, my Facebook page is Wisdom Walk Radio. My YouTube channel, The Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. There's also a Facebook page for Black Hole Radio, too, that you can check out. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important and vital work with and for all of you. Happy New Year again. Have a fabulous and flowing Water Week, this first week of the new year. And do remember, most importantly, that you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.